Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcasts. In podcast 669, we're going to do a walk and talk, and we're going to talk about a misinformation, disinformation, red alert in podcast 669. Well, if you listen to the Bob Davis Podcast, you know what I've been doing in terms of produced commercials for BrushStudio.net. You probably heard it where I took you inside Brush Studio on an evening so you could kind of hear what goes on and they can explain it to you. Now, we are getting into corporate meeting and corporate team building exercise weather, which is when it starts to get cold, companies start doing things to help with team building. And a lot of times, as I have talked about, you end up in a hotel conference room or you end up rappelling off a cliff somewhere doing something physical. And these things are great, but we are in a much more diverse workforce these days, and different kinds of people don't necessarily like to do what the company athlete likes to do, and so forth. So if you're one of those people in your company that's suggesting team building exercises, or you're the person who has to plan these things, then listen up, because Brush Studio is a great way to just get out with your people and have fun and have a sort of a sophisticated and fun evening that's low pressure and just fun at BrushStudio.net with your employees and maybe even clients. This is Brush Studio in the West End, St. Louis Park. Brush Studio events are held in a relaxed and social atmosphere. You've heard that. And basically, everybody comes away with a painting that they're guided through to do. It's an evening of painting and fun, but they have 22 brands of beer. They have an extensive wine collection. They will do catering from Crave in the West End. There's plenty of parking there, and they are event planning ninjas, so your corporate event is going to be a hit, all right? I don't need to tell you much more about it other than to tell you that events there are fantastic. Brush Studio, West End, St. Louis Park. Sign up online at brushstudio.net or reach out to Brush Studio, 952-236-1700. That's 952-236-1700. If you're planning, classes do have a tendency to fill up quick, and you can take care of that online at brushstudio.net. Well, speaking of disinformation and information or misinformation, you're hearing a lot of talk these days about trade protection, and you're hearing a lot of talk about foreign manufacturing in the United States for companies doing foreign manufacturing overseas that are U.S. companies. And in the light of a lot of information and disinformation and misinformation, companies are thinking about bringing some of their manufacturing back to the U.S. There certainly are reasons to manufacture in the U.S. Very quickly, if you're in that decision-making change at a company that's thinking about doing this, and you'd be surprised how many companies manufacture overseas and are thinking about bringing it back to the U.S. Think about DepotStar American Design, Engineering, and Manufacturing. Visit their website at DepotStar.com, D-E-P-O-T, DepotStar.com. Well, the rules of the walk and talk are there's no editing, there's no plan ahead of time, so that I don't even know what I'm going to talk about. And I come out here where I take walks, and I walk and I talk. It's that simple. That's what we call a walk and talk podcast. And there's a lot running through my mind. And I have to give you some background in terms of what I've been going through just in the last couple of hours in terms of getting ready to do this podcast. So it's dark, it's beautiful moonlit night. The moon is coming up. We're not quite there yet, but it should come up at some point during the podcast, which will be cool. Beautiful weather. That we had a rainy Saturday and a beautiful sunny Sunday. I went up north, northern Minnesota, Saturday, and of course escaped the rain, and it was beautiful up there to the headwaters of the Mississippi, and then I climbed the fire tower and checked out some of the small towns up there, and it was great. So I'm not going to do a podcast of that, although I was just thinking, you know, that's really a video experience, the headwaters of the Mississippi, but it could also be an audio experience. I just didn't feel like doing it. And I thought, well, what am I going to do for a podcast Sunday night? Especially since the last few podcasts have been pretty heavy in a lot of ways, particularly the death podcast. I appreciate all the comments and stuff on that. That was cool. So I thought, well, you know, I'll do a walk and talk podcast, and it should be pretty easy. And then I thought, well, this is why they call it work, because you come out here, and I have started this thing two or three different times, erased it, started again because of various technical issues or whatever, because I thought I was rambling and I had to go get batteries, and you know, on and on and on. But it's a beautiful night out here, and I thought to myself, I'm going to talk a little bit about content creation. Part of it is I want to name the podcast Misinformation, Disinformation, Red Alert. I don't know if I'm going to name it that, but it's a hell of an SEO title, so I probably will. And I thought, where does that lead me in terms of thinking? But it's kind of what I've been thinking about recently as I kind of do all these different podcasts and think about what to do. And I want to talk about being a content creator a little bit, because that's really the nub of this. I've been doing this a long time, so this is podcast 669, I think. We're coming up on 700 podcasts, and probably before the end of the year, if not shortly after, we're going to be at 1,000 podcasts. And there's, you know, as I've said it many, many times, if you're any good, you can't just keep doing the same thing over and over again. If you're any good, you are living your life on the air, so to speak. If you're any good, you're chronicling the change in your own mind and the experience of doing podcasts, how it's changing and you're changing, and so the nature of the work changes. One of the things I cannot get over and I don't understand is the people who do the same things over and over and over again. I don't know how you do a radio show over and over and over again, and it's the same approach, the same politics, the same point of view, the same belief. People change, things change, situations change, plans shift. People get fired, to steal a phrase from a movie, and those changes should be reflected in the work, in my personal opinion. And being a content creator, one of the things that I've noticed recently is, first of all, as a content creator, you create content wherever you go. It isn't just on a podcast or on a YouTube video or in an article. You're creating content and bringing content with you in all of your interactions, and you're receiving content in all of your interactions. So if you think of life as media, and I don't mean, you know, life as me, you know, circus life, let's say, or the entertainment business as life. If you think of life as essentially a form of media, a means of transferring information, then content is really what it's all about. It's the conversations that you have. It's the interactions that we have. It is the thoughts that we exchange. It is very much an act of language and tone and, you know, presentation in almost everything, whether it's business or anything else. So that's, you know, that's what I mean by content. But as specifically a content creator for the internet, which is what podcasting is, and the blogs that go with it, one of the constant problems that I have is the, I have to switch hands, is the maw of content that is out there today that contains a great deal of misinformation or actual real disinformation that is being sprayed out over the American public like a chemtrail, and probably the world public as well. Any place where there is a free, quote unquote, supposed to be a quote unquote free exchange of information. You know, well, this society, you know, the one thing about America is we can say what we want and we can blah, 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 blah. Except if you're a cast member of Saturday Night Live, maybe, or a producer of Saturday Night Live, maybe you don't take a shot at Harvey Weinstein, because if you do, you might find yourself in trouble, because he's a powerful man, and the trouble that he has gotten into recently, aside from his own personal stuff, but the fact that he's also an icon of the left, oddly enough, shows like Saturday Night Live and the networks and everything else stay away from that, because maybe they're afraid of which side of the street their toast is buttered on, right? So as a content creator, you see this stuff, and you see a lot of things that aren't covered, or you see a lot of misinformation about things that are covered. I watch a lot of YouTube. Actually, I have decided that I'm now an authority. I'm now an authority because I'm a viewer of YouTube. And you can, if you don't watch YouTube, if you do, you know exactly what I mean. The amount of horrible disinformation and bad clips and everything else and conclusions being drawn with no basis in fact and passing for some kind of news coverage is shocking. It is, you talk about the cesspool of broadcast media. YouTube is just, I feel dirty. I feel dirty whenever I watch YouTube. It's terrible information, and people believe some of the stuff that they're seeing. So there's a lot of misinformation and disinformation, and there is a maw of just all kinds of content that is political in nature. It wasn't always this way. It wasn't this way 10 years ago. It wasn't this way 20 years ago. You know, the political content was relegated to, you know, publications or relegated to certain places on the internet, relegated to certain kinds of radio stations. And if you wanted to avoid it, you could do that. If you didn't like politics or you didn't want to hear about it, you just avoided it. And if you did, you could turn it on and get the fire hose and then, you know, go away. Today, you can't escape it. Everything is politicized. Everything is about somebody's opinion one way or the other. Everything, apparently, is got a set of facts associated with it. But I don't even want to talk about that. See, that's the thing that was upsetting me earlier. That's not even something that I want to talk about. But you end up having to explain, okay, we're talking about content creation. We're talking about misinformation and disinformation on almost everything. If I mention Las Vegas, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And immediately you form a picture in your mind based on what you think you know about what you think happened or what others think happened in Las Vegas. I don't need to say anything more because anything after I... So that's a parenthesis or let's say a forward slash. And anything I say after that statement is subject to, you know, somebody either turning off the podcast or ignoring or automatically arguing with what I say, because I'm going to say Las Vegas, boom, forward slash. Now there's a set of thoughts and ideas which are presented, and all of those thoughts and ideas, even in audio format, are like HTML text. You click on them and they take you somewhere. So if I say Las Vegas and then start to say something, then everything I say is going to take you somewhere, right? Because that's it, everything has some sort of, you know, subconscious link, even when, because we're so used to taking in information that way, even when I just say Las Vegas, I don't need to say anything else. If I say Trump, then think forward slash parentheses, bang, drop in whatever you want to drop in. And so if I say Trump, then there's an immediate negative or positive reaction, or there's an immediate, knee jerk, the hackles go up on the back of somebody's neck because they think you're going to say something that they're going to have to defend. So what happens is if you say anything, people immediately want to respond, rather than actually taking it in and thinking about it. We are living in this every single day. And that has become a learned process that is very hard to turn off once it's been learned. Once you learn that if you press something, it turns into something else on a screen, it's very hard to think, to unthink that. It's very hard to break away from that. So doing political content, to me, seems to be a waste of time, because it's really not, you know, all the political content is really not what we're thinking about. It's really not what's going on. We're not really thinking about that. We're thinking about, we're operating on other things. We're operating on fear. We're operating on envy. We're operating on anger. We're operating on emotional levels all the time that are loaded up with all sorts of thoughts and ideas that aren't our own. Well, if you listen carefully out here tonight, you can hear motorcycles. There's still a few people out riding, but for the most part, we've come to the end of the riding season in the upper Midwest. And regardless of where you are, maybe you're in the South, maybe you're in Alabama, maybe you're in the Southeast, maybe you're out West. If you're in the Northwest, you certainly have come to the end of the riding season for the most part. And that's when you park the bike and you start thinking about the stuff that you can put on the bike to make it badass or make it more functional. And if you're thinking about that, I want you to think about Ciro3D.com, C-I-R-O 3D. This is the company I've been working with that makes the great motorcycle products and accessories. I love these guys, especially lighting options, but also things that aren't super expensive, like device mounts for GoPro and for your phone, things of that nature, foot pegs. Click on the banner at the top of the page, thebobdavispodcast.com, takes you to Ciro3D.com, and you can see what they do. Sign up to get a great catalog. Didn't bring it out with me, but they have a great catalog, and they have it. The catalog shows you how the parts work, how they get attached. They're easy to install if you do your own wrenching. Ciro3D.com, C-I-R-O-3D.com, or click on that banner that shows the lighting options from the rear at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Also working with a company called ReliaFund. This is a payment processor that makes payment processing easy for you. I was talking to another guy I work with this weekend, and he was saying that he's starting to get, and this is a company you never would expect this from, starting to get inquiries that people want to be able to pay their bills for his services through his website, because they're using his website more and more because it's recently been updated. It doesn't necessarily have to be e-commerce. It doesn't necessarily have to be website-oriented, but if you're looking for a payment processor, if you're a developer who is building an e-commerce site or a website for a client and you want to add payment processing, listen up, this message is for you. ReliaFund is a payment processor that has been providing integrated solutions to get payments cleared for more than two decades. So we're talking about payment processing. If you're doing any of the things that I've talked about, this is a company that you should look into. They are technology focused. They have no long-term contracts. They're secure. 866-243-5040. 866-243-5040. You can talk to a human being, which is not something that's easily done in the payments processing business. So they're very focused on customer service. ReliaFund at ReliaFund.com. If you click on the banner at the top of the page of thebobdavispodcast.com, it takes you to ReliaFund's contact page. You fill that out, they'll get back to you, and someone will take it with you, like Greg Lowry, who's one of the guys there, will talk you through what you need to do to get your payments processed. It's that simple. ReliaFund, R-E-L-I-A-F-U-N-D, ReliaFund.com. So as I said, we're living in this world where we're operating on subconscious emotional, emotions, let's just say, subconscious emotions. And we may not even be aware of that. We're not aware of the things that we're thinking about and operating on, whether it's death, as I did a podcast on, or because for me, now don't freak out and don't automatically say, okay, I got to prepare myself for something I'm not going to like or that I'm going to have to argue with. The Las Vegas experience for me is I looked at that kind of fit in with my experiences recently with death. And so I thought, what everyone's responding to is they have to explain this, because really what we're thinking about is we're thinking about death. We're thinking about the problems and that really negative, kind of fear and death. And we are operating on this thing all the time. This is what I'm thinking about today, is this constant operating on these low level, low frequency emotions that are just driving us. We're afraid of the North Koreans. We're afraid of the Mexicans. We're afraid of the, we're afraid of people that don't like Trump. We're afraid of the Antifa people. Or we're afraid of Trump. We're afraid of the government monolith. We're afraid. We're angry. We don't like this and we don't like that. And so these are the things that we then go out and we seek information about. And it's a literally fire hoses of information. Go on Facebook, go on social media. I have TweetDeck. It's just an app that you use with Twitter. So I opened up TweetDeck today, and I very seldom do this because I don't like Twitter. And I'll tell you, you're going to find out why. I mean, you know why if you've been listening to the podcast. But I opened up TweetDeck, and I just sat there and watched God knows how many tweets loaded, and it's just bang, 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 with all these angry it's like animal noises and just pictures, links. You don't know what he said. No, that's not true. And I just was like, whoa. And I thought, okay, well, I don't want to read any of these. And I don't even know why I have Twitter, except that you have it. Same with Facebook, you know. Facebook's fairly little bit less edgy in terms of that. And, of course, my son tells me, well, that's because of your Twitter feed, Dad. You know, your Twitter feed is a bunch of freaks and weirdos who are political on either side. And that's why you have that problem, because you have that weird, you know, whatever. Some people don't have that thing on their Twitter feed. But even if you're into sports, you know, it's, you know, the Kansas City Royals. Blah, 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 blah. If you only knew that, yeah, blah, blah, here's a link, because I only have 100 characters. Blah, 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 blah. You know, here's a picture, you know, here's a picture of this, you know, whatever. And you can't possibly incorporate all that information in your head, but you are affected by it. Facebook, and I've talked about this 100 times. I don't want to go on and on about social media because it's boring, but same thing. People are posting articles and links and videos to other things because they think that it's important that people hear it, but they don't look up who wrote it. They don't know where it comes from. They don't know why the person who did it. And the same with YouTube. You know, hey guys, so welcome back to the YouTube channel, and just got to tell you that we're going to show some video from this Las Vegas thing, and it's really amazing because it's clear that this is a false flag attack. No, people died, but, you know, this is obviously the CIA that did this. Or, you know, hey guys, welcome. Hey YouTubers, you know, welcome back. We want to update you on Nibiru, because it's definitely out there, and you can see it in the sky, the setting sun, and yada yada yada. It's like, and nobody ever says, you know, hey, why can't I see it during the day? If the Or my favorite is exactly where it is. So where is it so we can all see it, as you all know? Even better is the fact that almost all the stuff that's written, almost all the stuff that is seen, is all, you know, content created for a reason. It's not a recitation of facts or what known facts, most of the time, which are very few regarding a particular situation. You know, it's written for a reason and a point of view. I don't think a lot of people know that. And then the experience of driving back from northern Minnesota this weekend, just looking, I wasn't driving, someone else drove, my friend drove, and she's driving, and I'm looking out at people driving their cars, and I thought to myself, you know, I think a lot of people are, I read somewhere, no, you know what, I saw it on YouTube, on a hypnotist's video, and the hypnotist said, most people are in a state of hypnosis most of the time, where they're sort of in a somewhat suggestive subconscious state, and we really don't think a lot, and I speak for myself, and I'm really working on this. We really don't think a lot about what we're thinking about. We really don't think a lot about who we really are. We really go through the motions a lot. And in the midst of all this in our modern society today, we're just inundated with information all the time. There's just all kinds of information coming in all the time. And you have to cope with that. And some people cope with it by turning it off. And some people cope with it by just going into a state of hypnosis and they don't even know that it's happening. And I was just watching people driving that just spaced out, driving along, you know, at 52 miles an hour, and just thinking, do these people even know where they are, or have they just zoned out? And asking, well, how many of them are not eating right? How many of them are on antidepressants? How many of them have checked out long ago? How many of them are angry? How many of them are sad? How many of them are happy? What is it? What does it really take to be happy? And do we really know what's going on? And I'll close, you know, the podcast, and it might take me a while, but I'll close the podcast with some interesting points about. Everybody told me, all my friends, you've got to watch, you love history, you've got to watch the Ken Burns Vietnam documentary. It's on PBS and iTunes. And I thought, Well, first of all, I don't like Ken Burns. Of course. And I was talking to my brother-in-law, and I was like, I don't like Ken Burns. And he goes, why not? I go, I don't know. I got to think about it. I'll let you know. I don't have an answer for you, but I'm going to let you know. And in our family, one side of the family, you know, something like Ken Burns is like, it's fantastic. He's incredible. You've got to watch this, yada, yada, yada. Well, let me just tell you. I've read a lot of books about Vietnam because my brother was a Vietnam veteran. I've talked about it on the radio and I've talked about it in podcasts. I don't need to belabor it. He was a combat veteran and he knew I was interested in war and he knew I was interested in these things. And so he would pump books in my direction all the time. Because, and I'm glad he did, and I thank him for that. He's no longer with us, but I thank him for that posthumously because it irritated me. But at the same time, I learned a lot about Vietnam. So if you've done any studies on your own about Vietnam, and I'll tell you a great place to start is Stanley Carnot's book, Vietnam. It's a classic. Now, there's many, many others, but, you know, so if you know anything about history and you read about political history and you read about U.S. history, you know that there's pieces and these pieces fit together. They're not all, it's not all jumbled up into hamburger that you just can watch and go, now I know. So if you don't know history and you watch the Vietnam, you know, Ken Burns thing, you're, first of all, I feel like I am a Vietnam veteran now. I feel like I've been in Vietnam for the last 2 days because I've been watching this two or three of these at a time, number one. But Vietnam is such a complex subject. It doesn't, you can't grind it down to a 1 hour or even a 7 hour miniseries on television because it's all going to bleed together. And I'm sure the people that did that show said, well, that's kind of the way it is anyway. Well, no, that's not, because historically, when you study history, you're supposed to be able to take the pieces apart and look at the information that's available and try to figure out how the pieces fit together yourself. I mean, that's what historians do. And they try to piece together the facts and they say, you know, how does this fit together? What's the perspective on this? What does this mean? And it's not something that can be winnowed down to a 36-minute, you know, video or an hour-long or a two-hour-long thing. You can make a movie about it, but that's going to be a point of view. So you're going to tell a story that takes 180 minutes, let's say. Or you're going to write a book that's going to be a piece. So we're going to write a book about helicopter pilots, in particularly scout helicopters. And we're going to find out what they did in Vietnam and what their experience was. And that's it. And then the reader or the viewer will have to take that and put that in a piece with all the other stuff that they know about this, that, or the other thing. And I kind of thought to myself, I mean, this is one of the reasons I don't like Ken Burns, because he takes things like the Civil War or the Prohibition, which was actually a pretty good, you know, show, and gives you just enough to know that makes and then draw certain kinds of conclusions. So one of the things he does in the Vietnam show is, you know, makes it sound like Lyndon Johnson got sucked into the war and he didn't want to be there and everything else. But if you've studied Vietnam, you know that Kennedy sent Lyndon Johnson to Vietnam in 1962. And this is after Diem came to power in South Vietnam. And Lyndon Johnson wrote a memorandum to the president that basically said that the South Vietnamese regime is worth saving and we should commit what we need to commit and so forth and so on. So there was already a bias by Lyndon Johnson as vice president to doing whatever was necessary to shore up South Vietnam, a.k.a. South Korea, in this fight against communism. How do you explain that context? How do you explain how powerful that context was in the early 60s? How do you explain the politics and understanding that and leave an impression that President Johnson didn't want to go to Vietnam and, you know, the rest is history? Well, that's not true. You know, that he got, in other words, Johnson got conned into going to Vietnam because he listened to his advisors and blah, 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 blah. But he had advisors that told him not to do it. You know, they just couldn't figure out how not to. And I don't want to go into a long and involved thing about Vietnam, but it's just an example of how modern media tries to do things it can't do. You can't, there is no substitute for reading 15, 20, 30 books about Vietnam, or studying and reading 15, 20 books about, you know, medieval history. You can't tell everybody medieval history in three episodes or 12 episodes. You can tell pieces of it. You can write stories about pieces of it. You can make movies about pieces of it, and you can take a point of view that people go, I don't think that's what William Wallace really was all about. So I'm going to watch Braveheart, but then I'm going to read some books about William Wallace. I'm going to take a course on Celtic warriors. I'm going to do whatever, and learn more. But we don't do that anymore. We watch two or three episodes of Vietnam, which I don't know how you could watch the whole. Those of you watching the whole series, good luck, but because you're going to have to read 12 books afterwards, and they'll give you books you should read, and I'm sure all the materials are there if you want to read them, but most people don't. And in the conclusion here is that we live in a time that people think is this tumultuous, horrible time that we're living in. And one thing that I do know is that the 1960s in this country, virtually every decade, if you want to make it something that you can chop up in terms of decades, that's your business, but you can't. But virtually every era in American politics, every era in American history, there are several things going on at once. There's lots and lots of tracks. You know, there's the Industrial Revolution, and then there's people living in agricultural small towns, and then there's different, I mean, every era that you look at, there's all kinds of things going on. And I will tell you, the 1960s, if you stop and think about 1968, for example, and if you're too young, obviously, to remember it, that's one thing. But I'm not saying I was some old, grizzled guy in 1968. I guess what I'm trying to say is that I grew up in the 60s, really grew up in the 70s, but the 1960s was a very tumultuous time in American history, because you had two or three main political leaders killed, assassinated, three if you count. So if you count Kennedy's assassination, roughly 5 years later, and this is after a long period of unrest that had nothing to do with Vietnam, right? You had racial unrest, you had civil rights, you know, struggles, you had all that going on in the South and in the Midwest and all over the country. Then you had, obviously, Kennedy assassinated, and then there was a five-year period in there before, just 5 years, so you took a breath and you had 5 years, and then Kennedy, Robert Kennedy and Martin Luther King were shot after that. And in the midst of all this, you had this turmoil. So I would think that the 1960s, and particularly the second half of the 1960s, up through about 1970, well, even up through Watergate, was a period of great upheaval in this country, some of which was political, a lot of which was social, some of which was demographic, some of which was economic, some of which had to do with the rest of the world. Highly volatile time, and we didn't know it. You know, we were just kids. We were growing up, and we didn't know that this was the world that was volatile. So you look at this period of time, and people say, this is a terrible period. It's the end times, and all these terrible things are happening. And, and I look at the content creators predicting the end of the world, the content creators trying to make, telling everybody they have to defend Trump, or telling everybody Trump's got to go. And I think to myself, how do you know? How do you have any idea of the context of the time that we're living in? Because that's disinformation or misinformation. And it's a constant red alert, a constant misinformation, disinformation red alert, because we're not being given a chance to think. We're not being given a chance to put all this in perspective and context. We don't understand today. The young people today do not understand the Cold War. They do not understand the pressures that people were under in terms of what the potential threat was, without even knowing what the threat was. They don't understand. Some of us who were too young to have grown up during the Depression don't understand the the feelings and the pressures and the fear and everything that went with growing up during the Depression or growing up at the turn of the century or any of those things or what life was like in the 1890s for people, the 1860s or the 1850s out on the prairie. I drive through, you know, Minnesota, northern Minnesota, and I think, my God, these people came up here. And we were talking about, you know, when the people from Eastern Europe came up to the northern part of the state to be miners and how my family came from Wales and England to mine in Ohio and Kentucky. And other people's families came to mine in northern Michigan. They were from England. It's Cornwall. And you had English miners in northern Michigan doing taconite mining. And you had, you know, Eastern European and Italian miners and everybody else, Bohunks, so to speak, you know, doing mining in northern Minnesota. And that was later. I can't imagine the people that came to live in northern Minnesota in the 1850s and 60s. You know, because it must have been incredibly difficult. Each time, we cannot imagine, because we only live, as I said in the other podcast, you know, 70 to 100 years. So we only live a century. And so for us to understand, try to understand, or even a half century, for us to try to understand what, you know, what happened is really complicated. And to have it explained in shards and pieces and bits of people who are super confident, this is a false flag operation and these people did this to manipulate us. And how would you know? You don't know. They don't know. And so it's this constant onrush of false stuff, you know, disinformation and misinformation. And I guess that I've been thinking a lot about that. And I don't, like, as I said, I'm not going to turn it off. I can't turn it off. But it's this real question of, well, how do you filter? You know, what kind of framework do you have to filter if you don't know these things? And where do you start to get these things? So if you're younger, you have to start reading books and you have to start pick some part of something that you care about and go start reading books and not pop psychology books and not, you know, these instant books that talk show hosts write, but even literature, you know, writers and people who lived in that time and so forth, and begin to get an idea of what you don't know. Because I think that's the best part about reading history. When you actually read information that's been researched, even if it's with a point of view, you start to think, wow, you know, I really don't know a lot of stuff. And that's, I think, the beginning of enlightenment, is realizing what you don't know. Don't forget, there's something new and fun to do. Date night, business and corporate events, family or friends night out at Brush Studio, West End in St. Louis Park, where there's plenty of parking. Don't forget brushstudio.net. Those classes and events tend to fill up fast, so give them a call at 952-236-1700. That's 952-236-1700, or check them out online at brushstudio.net. All right, thanks for listening to this walk and talk. It's been crazy, crazy, crazy. I'm almost home. I'm back up on the deck. This walk and talk, podcast 669, massive disinformation and misinformation, red alert. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts. Right off the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Great week for streaming last week, so I appreciate all you people checking the page out, as well as iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher.com, and I appreciate the likes and the shares and the favorites and so forth on social media and checking out the videos. And I appreciate your donations for Mobile Podcast Command, which I got to figure out what to do with. I got to figure out what to do with it, where to go with it next, and everything else, and I'm working on that. Thanks for listening to Podcast 669, the Bob Davis Podcasts.
Hooray for Hollywood, that screwy ballyhooey Hollywood, where any office boy or young mechanic can be a panic with just a good-looking pan. And any barmaid can be a star maid if she dances with or without a fan. Hooray for Hollywood, where you're terrific if you're even good, where anyone at all from Shirley Temple to Amy Semple is equally understood. Go out and try your luck, you might be Donald Duck. Hooray for Hollywood. Thank you.